From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 31st day of May, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Azuzel at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear all about the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. Speaking of which, there are a couple of items you might want to keep in the back of your mind as we head through the end of this month of May. One of them is that the ACRE program sign-up is due at the end of the day on this coming Monday. That's June the 3rd. And then, of course, that the prevent plant provisions of your crop insurance, at least for the combo and revenue protection products, is due on the 5th day of June, or at least the decision-making process should get started by then. We'll hear more about both of those from Gary Schnittke as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat, that's the July at 7:05 and a half, was up 6 3/4 today. September at 7:15 and a half, up 7 and a half. And December at $7.30, 6 and a half cents higher. The hard red in Kansas City at $7.51, a nickel higher on the afternoon. July futures in the corn pit, 6:62, up 7 3/4. September at 5.97 1/4, up 5 1/2 cents. And December at 5.67 1/4, up 4 1/2 cents. March futures 5.77, up 4 1/4. And the May contract at 5.82 3/4, up 3 1/4. July futures 5.87 1/2, up 1 1/3 cents. July soybeans today, $15.10, up 14 1/4. August at 14.37 3/4, up 11. And September beans at 13.47 1/4, up 13 cents. November soybeans, $13.04 1/4, up 15, and January, $13.10, up 15 1/2. And the May contract in the bean pit, rather the March, at $13.10 1/4, up 15 1/4. Bean meal at $447.20, that's up $6.40. Bean oil down 20 cents at $48.38. Live cattle futures finished the nearby June at $121.30, up 95. August, $1.40 higher at $120.40, 45 cents that is. And the September feeders at $146.57 1/2, up 22 1/2 on the afternoon. You're listening to, of course, the Closing Market Report. Lean hog futures finished the June at $95.62 1/2 for the day. July at $93.85, up 37 1/2. The nearby June was up 30 on the afternoon. Outside markets look like this. Crude oil futures July contract $91.90 a barrel, $1.71 lower. The Arbob or wholesale price of gasoline down 3 3/10 at $2.77, and ethanol at $2.74 1/2, up 4 6/10 cents. The difference between the two is just 3 4/10 cents now. That's down 7 9/10 cents. Natural gas at $3.98 7/10, 3 6/10 lower, and heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.79 2/10, up down 5 1/10 cents. Gold futures at $1,392.80 an ounce, down $19 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We'll see occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall. A high near 82 degrees on a south wind at about 17 miles an hour. That one will gust to 14 to 17. And then tonight, occasional showers and thunderstorms will continue. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms. And we'll see a high of 80 degrees. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers. Those will come before 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy and a low of 57. By the time we get to Sunday, mostly sunny skies and 71. Things begin to clear out and stay that way for a bit. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, 53. Back to sunny skies on Monday and 70. Partly cloudy on 52. Tuesday, sunny skies and 74. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy and 57. And on Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms return. Otherwise, partly sunny across the area with a high of 74 degrees, mostly cloudy on Wednesday night and 60, and a chance of showers on Thursday, mostly cloudy and 78. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com. Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Friday afternoon, the 31st day of May, 2013. Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, is heading westward this afternoon. Had some problems getting hold of him to begin with, but now he's on the phone line. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
My apologies to you and your listeners. We got a little bit of weather over here in Chatham that we went through, and I think that probably messed up our cell signal, Todd.
Oh, you're near Springfield, so you're at Chatham, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you're not too terribly far away, but the weather can make some problems for us. You've been watching, I know, among a lot of other things you've been doing today, what's been happening in the marketplace. Why don't you start with what happened yesterday and the day before and talk a little bit about the wheat, the finding of the genetically modified, probably genetically modified versions of white winter wheat and what that really means?
I think sentiment-wise and psychologically, it just threw another dagger at the wheat. It's almost like Atlas trying to hold up the world at this point for the wheat market when it comes to our demand. We've had some good export sales, but that's not enough to curb the sentiment. And when Japan came out and said, we don't want any more of your wheat for right now, and GASC, fortunately, out of Egypt, has said they're still studying it, and a couple other countries are also studying it, including China. That kind of took the pressure off the market, but it really puts us at a disadvantage. We're already at a price disadvantage because of the U.S. dollar, and we're already at a psychological disadvantage because the world markets, the trade especially thinks the world market is just overloaded with supplies of wheat at this point. So we're essentially going to probably be ratcheted down to the seller of last resort, would be my expectation. It would be something along the lines of really poor yields here in the United States, poor yields in Ukraine, or real poor yields in Australia, to turn the boat around and change that psychology if the technicians don't come in and buy it just because it's so oversold.
Does this go across the board for wheat or for just the white or that particular class of wheat?
I think because of the dollar strength, Todd, I would classify wheat in general as the leader to the downside. I think corn especially would have done much, much better this week. Here we've got Newswire stories coming out about how the bean acres are going to be going up at the expense of corn, but beans led the rally here yesterday and again today especially. I think corn would have done much, much better in performance had it not been for the wheat. Now, having said that, we did get above 705 in Chicago wheat. We got above 750 in KC July wheat. Those are two technical levels we continue to hold on to just by a nip, you know, at the weekly close. But that still keeps you favorable technically, or at least non-committed as far as wanting to sell more.
New crop corn, however, did have a pretty good week. There was a gap higher on the week. We ended up with a high of $5.73, settled out, what, at $5.67 and a quarter. Not terribly far off the high, and that one took out, what, the April high, and did it take out the earlier high back in March? That was $5.73 and 3/4, so we were where? We were just a quarter of a cent high from that high for the day. So corn had a pretty good week, it appears to me.
Very good week, and I think this is where it did it without the help of the July until today, and I think that's where the weekly export sales were good across the board, and those weekly export sales allowed the re-engagement of the bull spread, and I think that really came nicely at the close of the week and helped that December out in a very necessary manner. It's really interesting to me to think about now with what we've got going on with the corn market and maybe another wet week next week in some of the longer-term models is what does the end user do now heading into the June crop report? If you've got more rain on the way, that means more uncertainty. More uncertainty means less farmer selling. And so I think this is where the front-end corn again next week is probably going to be your biggest player as far as whether we can take those levels out that we just reached today and get up to that 585, 595 level in December futures. That's where I want to put some hedges back in. I certainly want to get some hedges in at that price level, and as from a timing standpoint, want to be in place with those hedges by the time we do get to the June report, because I think we will try and factor in as much bullishness by the June report as we possibly can.
Yeah, so your condition here is that you think that the bullishness will be factored into the market by that time. Producers might want to take advantage, at least in your opinion, of the marketplace on the idea that the crop, well, a lot of the crop is already in the ground, and it may be in pretty good condition as well.
That's right. Scale up, sell. It's a supply-driven rally. Do most of it on paper, very little of it on cash, just like a year ago today. And keep in mind, in 1993, one of the reasons we had both lower harvested acres and lower yield was because we had a very wet June. So you can feed the bull in corn, but you're going to need to do it in the month of June with continued wet weather. And I think that's where you hedge it, the weather clears up, the market drops, you've got your hedge in place on paper. If you hedge it and the market goes up because the weather continues to stay dry, at least you hedged it on paper and you've got your crop insurance.
As of tomorrow, soybeans planted June 1st and later, actually today, May 31st, but planted on June 1st, will be considered a late planting. Much of a problem that you're working through there with the soybeans, or will they lead to the upside?
No, interestingly enough, I think the beans will probably continue to lead because most of the producers I've contacted that are in that state where they want to switch have already put the chemicals down this spring and they're just kind of locked in. One client I talked to today even said, well, my neighbors got planted, but I didn't, so I can't take prevent planting. I'm going to have to get the corn in eventually when I can. So I think that the idea, the theory that the bean acres are going to go up is right on the money, and I think they probably will go up some. But I have a sneaking suspicion that maybe the springtime chemical application is going to prevent a lot of clients and a lot of producers from changing over to beans, and they'll just have to get the corn in later and deal with lower yields.
Thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll talk to you for Commodity Week.
Thanks again, Todd. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting, usually in Lafayette, Indiana, headed westward at this time in Chatham, Illinois. When we first called him, I suspect maybe he was going a little further than that, straight due west through Jacksonville and then all through St. Joe and headed towards Atchison, Kansas. So we'll talk to him a bit later in the Commodity Week program. Our guest this week, by the way, is Mary Kay Thatcher. She is a lobbyist for the American Farm Bureau Federation, and I thought it might be important to talk to her at this time a little bit about crop insurance and what Washington, D.C. is thinking as it pertains to means testing, and we'll also talk with her about Farm Bill. We'll record that at about 4:30 Central Time this afternoon, USDA, up our USA time, that is, and we'll put that up on the website at about 6 p.m. this evening.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Now here's Dave Dickey, your Director of Ag Programming, with today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
In agricultural news, South Korean flour mills have postponed plans to tender for U.S. wheat and are waiting for investigation results after unimproved genetically modified wheat was discovered at a farm in Oregon. South Korea buys close to 1.2 million tons of U.S. wheat annually. Separately, South Korea's Ministry of Food and Drug Safety said in a statement that it will investigate if any GM wheat has been imported from the U.S. and will inspect all cargoes arriving from Oregon. Japan Thursday suspended imports of Western white wheat grade from the U.S. Also, flour millers in Taiwan say they are reviewing imports of wheat from the U.S. Taiwan is a major wheat importer and heavily dependent on the U.S. for its supplies, and the European Union is urging its 27 member states to test wheat shipments from the U.S. The EU's Consumer Protection Office today says that shipments which test positive should not be sold in line with the bloc's zero tolerance for GM crops. It also said it was seeking further information and reassurance from U.S. authorities and have asked Monsanto for help in developing a reliable test for the GM grains. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow says she has reason to believe that the Senate will complete its work on the 2013 Farm Bill when senators return to Washington next week. Before the Memorial Day recess, Stabenow's committee was unable to agree on a final list of amendments from the more than 200 offered to the Agriculture Reform, Food and Job Act of 2013, so members decided to put the bill before the full Senate again the week of June the 3rd. OPEC oil ministers today decided to keep the organization's output target at 30 million barrels a day. The ministers also discussed more complex issues today, including surging shale oil production in the U.S. that could weaken OPEC's role as the world's leading powerhouse of oil. The weekly U.S. Drought Monitor reported 44.34% of the U.S. experienced some degree of drought as of Tuesday. That's down from 46.1% the prior week and 61.09% at the start of 2013. And unemployment across the 17 EU countries that use the euro hit another record high in April. Eurostat, the EU's statistics office, today says that unemployment rose to 12.2% in April from the previous record of 12.1% the month before. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Monday is the last day farmers in the Midwest can sign up for the ACRE program. The ACRE program, or Average Crop Revenue Election, is a voluntary government farm subsidy program, and it trades 20% of the direct payments you as a farmer might receive for a low-price, low-yield, low-income insurance program. That according to University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke.
They have till June 3rd to make their ACRE decision, so it's rapidly approaching. But ACRE is an alternative to the countercyclical program. So farmers give up 20% of their direct payments, which is between $4 and $5 on most Illinois farms, for the chance of an ACRE payment, which could happen if we have low prices in Illinois.
Or any other state in the union that grows corn. Here's how it works.
ACRE, if we have normal Illinois yields, will begin to make payments if we have prices below $4.50. So at roughly $4.50 and a normal Illinois yield of about 160 bushels per acre, ACRE would make a payment of $8 an acre. If we get down to $4 per bushel corn and the same yield, will be closer to $80 an acre.
Schnitke says the price of corn would need to be lower than what most people are expecting right now in order for ACRE to make a payment. He calculates it to be cheap insurance that pays out about 25% of the time in years like this one.
You give up $4 to $5 to protect yourself against low revenue. And if we have low revenues, you'll be happy you did, and but most of the time you'll be just giving up $4 or $5 an acre.
The acre decision must be made by the end of the workday this Monday. There is another decision farmers now must make as the rains have continued to fall across the Corn Belt. That has to do with crop insurance and prevent plant. There is a provision in the federal government's revenue protection or combo crop insurance products that allows a farmer to make a prevented planted claim. It is used in years like this one, where for one naturally occurring reason or another, a crop just cannot be sown in a timely fashion. This year, it's too much rain. The time has now arrived to make that claim, or at least decide whether it is better to plant corn late or to make the prevent plant claim, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke.
That prevented planting payment is 60% of their guarantee. So if they have a corn policy, it would be the 568 projected price times their APH yield times their coverage level, whatever that guarantee is, 60% of it. It would be the prevented planting payment. And they could have signed up for higher levels of that, 65 and 70, but they would have known if they had done that at crop insurance sign-up time.
The financial trade-off, then, is taking the minimum 60% guarantee or planting a crop and hoping.
Taking prevented plant is an attractive alternative, particularly if you've taken a high coverage level. You know, it's 85-80% coverage level. Prevented planted payment will be larger in those cases because you have a higher guarantee. So if you're in those sort of 85% and 80% coverage levels, and taking prevented planting is worth looking at, particularly if you're looking at it and seeing that, you know, we have a lot of acres planted already, and if we get normal yields on that which is planted, we could see lower prices. So.
It makes prevent plant an alternative worth exploring. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. On a Friday afternoon at this time, we usually take a look at the cash grain market. The folks there are not available, but I do have some information for you as it relates to protecting the family farm and an estate planning and succession planning session that will be put on by the Illinois Tax School. That's operated out of the College of ACES, or the Agricultural School, here at the University of Illinois campus. It is scheduled for the 24th day of June. You heard about it from Gary Hoff yesterday on this program. It's an all-day event, runs from 8:30 a.m. in the morning to 4:45 in the afternoon, sponsored by Farm Credit. I know you can find all the information at Farm Credit Services if you want to give them a call, or you can just go online and look for University of Illinois Tax School and then Legacy. Over on the left-hand side of the page, you'll find some of the links. It's a little difficult to see there. It's just $40 on June the 24th. It's a really good day to go and try to figure out how to pass down the farm. Actually, if you just have a small business of any type and you're interested, you can do that as well. They'll be holding that at the Bloomington Normal Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. That is on the 24th day of June. In Bloomington, just $40. Register online at www.taxschool.illinois.edu/legacy. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, will be on hand with us here at the Closing Market Report. It comes to you, of course, from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Macaroon Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1744, Richard Lovell Edgeworth died, an Anglo-Irish inventor. Among his many inventions and innovations were a turnip cutter, as well as various improvements in agricultural machines. In 1790, the first U.S. copyright law was signed by George Washington. In 1872, C.G. Abbott was born. An American astrophysicist, he was the first scientist who suspected that the radiation of the sun varied over time. His studies on solar radiation led him to eventually discover a connection between solar variations and weather on Earth, allowing general weather patterns to be predicted up to 50 years ahead. And in 1884, Dr. John Harvey Kellogg applied for a patent for flake cereal. He was trying to improve the vegetarian diet of his hospital patients by searching for a digestible bread substitute by the process of boiling wheat. Kellogg accidentally left a pot of boiled wheat to stand, and it became tempered. When it was put through a rolling process, each grain of wheat emerged as a large, thin flake. And when the flakes were baked, they became crisp and light, creating an easy-to-prepare breakfast when milk was added. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line from the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, Jim Angel, state climatologist. Good afternoon to you, Jim. It's a little bit rainy at this point. Not too terribly bad, but looks like we're going to get more rain as we make our way through the weekend.
That's right. We're a chance of rain today, tonight, and tomorrow. In fact, there's going to be some heavy rain and thunderstorms mixed in with that. I think virtually the whole state is in a flash flood watch at this stage because of all the rains we've had and saturated soils and the potential for flooding as we move forward. But the good news is that on Saturday, sometime on Saturday, a cold front is going to start to push through the state. And while it will push the rain out ahead of it, behind it will be cooler, drier air, so we'll actually get a break from the warm, muggy temperatures and the precipitation, at least for a couple of days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday actually look pretty nice right now, with highs around 70s and lows around 50 degrees, so be a much nice, well-needed break from all this rain that we've had.
There
the
may...
next chance of rain is probably about Wednesday night, Thursday.
There may be a few that can get into the field after a couple of days, but I suspect there are a whole lot more that have had rainfall in amounts that won't let it dry out that quickly.
That's right. The soils are very saturated, and there's a lot of water staying in the field. So, yeah, it's going to take more than 3 or 4 days of sunshine to make that happen.
I know that you have some preliminary results, but since it's still raining and we haven't closed out the month of May, you don't have finals. How wet has it been?
Yes, the numbers keep going up. Right now we're at 5.9 inches for the state, which is that's pretty wet, not the record by any means. But if you look at the springtime, that March, April, May time frame, we're already at 15.7 inches, and that's the ninth wettest on record. So, and it's only going to go up from there because we'll get more numbers in for today. And when we redo the numbers tomorrow, we'll find out how wet it really was.
And then as you take a look a little further out, as opposed to next Wednesday or Thursday, if we get out 10 days or so, do we have drier weather then too or not?
Well, you know, the Climate Prediction Center does have a little more optimistic viewpoint a little farther out you go. Their 6 to 10 day is still a little bit on the wet side. They've got above average precipitation from about, from about St. Louis eastward and all the way out to the east coast there. But the 6 to 10 day finally starts to get us back into near normal precipitation. And during that time, we'll actually have close to normal temperatures as well. So, but, you know, there's nothing real optimistic at that point.
All right. Thanks so much, Jim.
Okay, you're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Urbana-Champaign, the Prairie Research Institute. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. By about 6 o'clock this evening, we'll post Commodity Week. Our guest this week is Mary Kay Thatcher. She's a lobbyist with the American Farm Bureau Federation. In studio, we'll have Wayne Nelson and Kurt Kimmel and Mike Zuzlo. While he's traveling, we'll be on the other phone line. Should be a great show. We'll post it up there. this evening, and you can listen to it before it gets to any radio station if you'd like. It's part of the service that comes to you from willag.org. Have a great afternoon and a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.